our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 446, the stanzas 2 and 4. If thou shouldest mark transgression, O Lord, who then could stand? For evil and oppression are found on every hand. But thou dost pardon fully all our iniquity, that we may serve thee truly and fear thy majesty. And what follows, 446, the stanzas 2 and 4. a portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in James 3. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. James 3. My brethren, be not many masters, and knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that he may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and have been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Most holy, most righteous, merciful and good-doing God, then by renewal thy good and gracious hand has gathered us and our children together within the walls of thy house. We have been the recipients of many a blessing, and now by renewal we may place ourselves under thy word and eternal testimony. Thou knowest how that each and every one has come up to thy house, also with the knowledge that by renewal we shall dwell at the foot of Mount Sinai and hear the ninth commandment. And then perhaps there have been those that have come up discouraged. May there have also come up those that are guilty, and may the prayers have been multiplied, that thou may bless thy word for uncovering, that the law may be a schoolmaster to bring to Christ, and also in the way of examination, and the part of gratitude, O Lord, do work lovingly and irresistibly amongst us and our children. May it please thee to do a great work amongst us. Thou art such a wonder-doing God, and thou hast promised that thy word shall not return void unto thee. And to that end, wilt thou bless it in this evening hour. Bless thy word in the church. Continue to help the consistory, who is sufficient unto these things. Grant many errands in hers. Do help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children. We commend unto thee the fathers and mothers, when thou granteth it, who hope to present their little children on the coming Lord's Day to receive the sign and the seal of the covenant. May it please thee to grant a week of preparation to receive instruction, the prayers multiplied, that thou may do for those little children what is signified therein, and may thy people be given to us for a blessing concerning the work of the Father, the work of the Son and the work of the Holy Spirit. Do continue to bless the labors in our Christian school and for instructors. There shall be a week of rest. May it be for refreshment. May it be for profit. And so we commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth, the established churches, theological school, the instructors, and the students. May their number be increased. We remember the persecuted church, the Jewish people, also mission work, our mission field. Do remember thy servants, the team, that people in Peru. In the day of tomorrow, the mission board hopes to meet. Wilt thou gather with us? Wilt thou lead and guide? And wilt thou grant the richest blessing upon the labors in that foreign country? We commend unto thee Bible translators. Do bless thy word, which is brought into the prisoners, that thy word may be used, that they may learn that they are spiritual prisoners, and that they need to be delivered by the great King of the Church, the Lord Jesus Christ. We commend unto thee our country that is sinking away further and further from thee, where there is so little heard from the leaders concerning God, sin, guilt, a calling to repentance. May we be given to see and realize the seriousness of the times. And, our Lord, may we be given to hasten for our life's sake and to find a place of safety under the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember all the temporal needs. Continue to provide for the daily bread, for the family circles when it is necessary. Do send a raven. We commend unto thee, we remember, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. O Lord, do continue to remember and sanctify the callings. Remember our elderly ones, our Bethesda, the residents, those that lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out. The infirmities are increasing. Eternity is at hand. Oh, above all things, when they still have an unsaved soul, may it please thee to look down upon them in mercy. Remember all the sick and afflicted ones, the handicapped ones, difficulties of the body, difficulties and weakness of the mind, crosses and burdens, scars, those that struggle with temptations and with addictions. May it please thee to deliver them, prodigal sons and daughters, our Lord. Keep us under us and our children under the truth, and may it please thee to bless that truth, that sinners may be set free. And now by renewal, we humbly ask thee for thy help in speaking and in listening. May thy word go forth with power divine. Press it upon of all of our hearts. that we are unworthy of the least of thy blessings, and yet we cannot do without thy blessings. And to that end, may the prayers be multiplied. May we be more that publican at the back of the temple, smiting upon his breast, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, O Lord. May still be proclaimed that there is a Savior for the chiefest of sinners. Wilt thou remember those souls so burdened with their guilt, riddles, perplexities, be a surprising God. May the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom, the glory of thy name. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 300, the first five stanzas. O God, whom I delight to praise, to thee my cry for help I raise. Be thou my friend and advocate when foes assail with bitter hate. And what falls? Psalter 300, the first five stanzas. In this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 43. Question 112. What is required in the ninth commandment? Answer, that I bear false witness against no man, nor falsify any man's words, that I be no backbiter nor slanderer, that I do not judge nor join in condemning any man rashly or unheard, but that I avoid all sorts of lies and deceit as the proper works of the devil, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. Likewise, that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly, and confess it. Also, that I defend and promote, as much as I am able, the honor and good character of my neighbor. Lord's Day 43 speaks of the ninth commandment, a commandment concerning our words. Five thoughts. First, given words. Secondly, deceitful words. Thirdly, kind words. Fourthly, accountable words. And in the fifth place, to speak of God's words. The ninth commandment, a commandment concerning our words, given words. And then in our first point, that the Lord has created mankind with a gift of speech. Deceitful words, kind words, accountable words, and God's words. Beloved congregation, then in this evening hour, then by renewal, then we place yourself at the foot of Mount Sinai to hear concerning the ninth commandment. Then your thoughts have multiplied, and also boys and girls, when your father and mother have told you that in this evening hour from our Heidelberg Catechism, there shall be spoken about the ninth commandment. What were your thoughts? Of course, thou shalt not bear false witness. Bearing false witness, they are big words for little boys and girls. But to say it plainly, thou shalt not lie. And boys and girls, we all know what it is to tell a lie. David in Psalm 25, verse 7, then he has prayed, sins of youth remember not. And with that prayer is also included the ninth commandment. It is, of course, a blessing when we may have a tender conscience. I have read children of different children boys and girls when they have told a lie. Then at night they went to bed and they tried to pray, but that did not go so well. When they were a little older, they tried to read the Bible, but it did not work. And then in bed, they tossed to and fro until finally they fell asleep. And then the next evening, the same thing. Until they went to their father and mother and says, "Father and mother, I have told a lie. I need forgiveness." And then, of course, also we need forgiveness from the Lord. I have also read of children, and I shall give you one example of what I have read. Christ has also spoken in parables. Thus, sometime a little history that can be make it easier for the children to understand. And that concerned a boy, his name was Duncan. They had a one-room schoolhouse. Perhaps he was in grade 3. And that little Duncan was taught that he must never tell a lie. He has even told his friends that we must always speak the truth. But what now happened on a certain day, then when they were outside, I think the schoolhouse was in a forest, and then during break, then sometime they chopped wood, and Duncan was chopping wood with an axe. And now the teacher, he had a pet cat whose name was Tabby. And that cat was always present with the teacher even in the classroom, had a chair beside him, and that's where the cat would lay while the teacher is taught. And I hope that the students, that they were obedient, attentive, and eager to learn. Then it goes the best, right, boys and girls? But on that certain day, as he was chopping wood, then he accidentally dropped an axe on the pet cat, and the cat was dead. So what must Duncan do? And then some classmates came around and they suggested different things, to put the pet cat on the road as if he was hit and other things. But Duncan says, "I may not lie." So he picked up the cat and went to the teacher. And he put the cat in front of the teacher. And then Duncan said, "Teacher, I'm sorry. I should have been more careful, but I dropped my axe on your pet cat, and he is dead." And what do you think the teacher said, boys and girls? The teacher said, "Duncan, of course you must try to be more careful next time, but I would rather have 10 dead cats than a dishonest student." Oh, boys and girls, that the Lord may help you. When we think of the scriptures and when we think of this commandment, also telling a lie, then the Bible is not full of examples of children that have told lies. But we do read of many older ones, guilty of the ninth commandment. And what else? When we read the book of Genesis, then we have examples, different examples of God's people, of the patriarchs, patriarchs that have told lies. The context of our Heidelberg Catechism, it is in the part of gratitude. Abram, when he went down into Egypt, later with the king of the Philistines, concerning his wife, Isaac, the same lie, Jacob has deceived his father. What was the reason? Because they did not believe that God told nothing but the truth. With the patriarchs telling a lie, they have made God a liar. Because to Abram and to his seed, the Lord has promised the richest blessings, and they could not believe it. Our first thought, a given tongue. The Lord has created the birds, the animals. Birds can sing. Are you sometimes jealous of them, congregation, when we see them? Sing the praises of the Lord. The animals, they communicate with one another in their own way. But the Lord has given unto mankind a tongue, the gift of speech. And in paradise, that tongue was used to perfectly glorify their creator and their maker. Genesis 2. Then Adam has used his tongue to give the animals, the birds, a name according to their character. Also, in marriage, he has called his wife woman because she was taken out of man. But then Genesis 3. We have heard it in this morning. Many lies that were told in the Bible. Then the devil in John 8 verse 44, for he is a liar and the father of it. And the devil continues his work to lie and to deceive. Then he tells young and old, especially the young, and the devil tells you young people, that the Lord is such a harsh God. Then the devil tells you that the service of the Lord is not a pleasant service, because then you may not do anything. Then you shall have such a dull and a boring life. Then you can never enjoy yourself. The devil tries to minimize sin. And after we have committed it, then he tries to tell us that we have sinned too much, too great. Thus the devil continues that work. And now with our tongue, we have heard it out of James 3, in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things not. ought not to be so. Thus a given tongue which the Lord has created for his praise and for his honor. And now it is necessary. Oh, undoubtedly, there have come people up in this evening, and when they thought about the ninth commandment, then they thought, I'm guilty, very guilty. Then that commandment does not need so much explanation. But may I ask you, where does it bring you? Does it bring to confession, godly sorrow, repentance? And as the publican in the back of the temple, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Our second thought, deceitful words. And then, of course, when we speak of our tongue, that includes our writing. And what else? And our day, technology, phones, texting, all included in this commandment. Then how necessary that we are given to ask the Lord much, and oftentimes that he may guard us, that he may help us. The commandment very broad, plain lying, many reasons when we think of Abraham, said to the king of Pharaoh, she's my sister, so his life would be spared. When we think of Jacob, for his prophet, he needed and desired the blessing of the Lord. That was a good desire. But he did not wait upon the Lord, together with his mother Rebekah, took matters in his own hands, and he has lied to his blind father. The brothers of Joseph, after they have sold their brother, told a lie, that skin dipped in blood, to cover up their sin. When we think of Potiphar's wife, has told a lie out of envy and hatred. Gehazi has told a lie to Naaman out of greed because of covetous heart. Haman concerning the Jewish people out of revenge, the Pharisees on account of honor, and Peter in the hall of Caiaphas was because that he would be mocked and perhaps put in prison. Then secondly, when we think of bearing false witness, then we think of the courts and Adam and Eve. They were brought in that courtroom, as we have heard in this morning hour. And then Adam and Eve have denied the truth, but the blame elsewhere. Therefore, in the courts, an oath is taken, And then it is necessary that the truth and nothing but the truth is told by the accused, by witnesses, by lawyers, that they deal honestly, and also the judge. Think of Pontius Pilate when Jesus was brought before him, then he did not deal according to truth. Falsify can be unintentional, take out of context, tell only half or only part that suits us the best. Backbiter, talk behind our neighbor's back, oftentimes with the intention to elevate ourselves. Slander, and not following Matthew 18, rejoicing in our neighbor's misery. We read in Psalm 55, verse 21, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn words. Gossip, read in Proverbs 16, verse 28, a whisper separates very friends. And therefore James is written in James 1, verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, condemning rashly. Oh, think, the high priest Eli, was a very sad time, that even people came drunk into the tabernacle, and that Hannah, who was so burdened, who was pestered, then she is poured out her heart before the Lord, and Eli has rashly formed judgment, thinking she was drunken, while she was in fervent prayer, supplication, vowing to the Lord that if the Lord would answer her prayer, would be a little son for the Lord. This commandment that speaks of words, there are two commandments that concerns our words, our tongue. The third commandment that concerns God, and then we have already heard much concerning the third commandment, but this commandment that refers more, because the second table that concerns loving our neighbor. Our third thought, that is kind words. And when we speak of kind words and dealing kindly with our neighbors, that must not be at the expense of justice and the truth. Then we need to be honest. Because when we are not honest with our neighbor, and that is concerning temporal matters and spiritual matters, then that is not kindness. Do we not read in Ezekiel 3 that the prophet Ezekiel was made a watchman upon the walls of Zion? And then it is written, when there was such a watchman, and that he would not blow the trumpet and warn his fellow citizens, then as blood would be required at their hand. Thus, when we speak of kind words, there are cultures also in South America where it is seen a greater sin to hurt our neighbor's feeling than to tell a lie, and to that oftentimes when on a mission field, when a missionary, a church worker speaks with people concerning the things written in God's word, and when they are asked whether they would be willing on the Lord's day to come to church, then very seldom you shall receive a no. They shall say, we hope to be there, when they absolutely have no intention of coming, because in that culture they need to be instructed, then it is a bigger sin to hurt our neighbor's feeling, to cause them to distress, than to cause a lie. And therefore our instructors, they have not only spoken what we must not do, but also what we are called to do. And it is true, the list is long, but then we read, and all that in judgment and all other dealings, I love the truth, speak it uprightly and confess it, also that I defend and promote as much as I am able the honor and good character of my neighbor. That is the fulfilling of the law. Romans 13, verse 10, love is the fulfilling of the law. And to that end, then it is necessary that we pray for one another. When things are amiss, that we admonish one another, that as far as possible, unless there's evidence contrary, that we try to judge charitably, even when people have many faults, then many times they also have also gifts, and not judge without proof. We think of David, Mephibosheth, when Ziba has come with that bad report, then David did not investigate, hear the other side, taken over the testimony of Ziba, and passed judgment. When we read the book of Proverbs, then there is many a text that speaks of our words. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. Our forethought, accountable words, let us first sing. Of Psalter 435, the stanzas 1, 6, and 7. My soul with holy awe remember the Lord in brightest majesty. At Horeb's mount gave there his statutes and spake these words to hear and see. And what follows, 435, the stanzas 1, 6, and 7. Thank you. the ninth commandment, a commandment concerning our words. Given words, deceitful words, kind words, and now in the forethought, accountable words. And then congregation, when in short, we have mentioned a few words concerning the ninth commandment, then there is not one amongst us that is not guilty before that great, majestic God. There is not one guilty, in relation to our fellow travelers. What a solemn thing it is to be a human being. And in the context, in the part of gratitude, where the prophet Isaiah has declared, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. And then so guilty. And now our forethought, many sins which we have forgotten true at times, then it comes back. And when we may be given to reflect upon our past, what a long list, what a black list, and then to think that each of our sins, we have come to the ninth commandment, are written in God's book, and if they have not been washed away in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then what a thick book of remembrance that is becoming. Maybe there are times, congregation, that you were so discouraged, nigh to despair. Maybe sometime that you think, was I never born? Was I but an animal or a bird? But we are not an animal. We are not a bird. We are human beings whom the Lord has created in his image, knowledge, righteousness, and holiness. And now concerning these sins, then the instructors, they have used the expression concerning the sins as the proper works of the devil. We have heard that he was a liar from the beginning. And in Matthew 12, verse 36, we read that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the days of judgment. And then the instructors would bring upon them, unless I would bring down upon me the heavy wrath of God. And we read in the last chapters of the Bible, concerning that sin, and that concerns heaven. Revelations 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. And in Proverbs 12, verse 22, there we read, lying lips are abomination to the Lord. And then in Revelations 22, verse 15, that shall be without whatsoever maketh a lie. What a necessary prayer. The psalmist in Psalm 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Then how necessary. Confession, repentance, and a begging for mercy. And to that end, our fifth thought, God's words. Ah, the wonder that there is mercy for the chiefest of sinners. Also for the sins, the manifold sins, which we have committed against the ninth commandment. Otherwise, young and old, we could well despair. Otherwise, it would be for sure that we would spend our eternity in hell. And if we are not converted and we do not repent and turn unto the Lord with all our hearts, begging for mercy, if we do not experience and receive what we have heard in this morning hour, because we need a Savior for our guilt. Lord is so just that He cannot overlook one of our sins. May the prayers be multiplied. And now concerning God's words, because we read in Titus 1 verse 2, a God that cannot lie, He is a God of truth. That is one of His attributes, an unchangeable truth. Then He is true concerning His judgments. What the Lord has spoken in His word concerning sinners that refuse to repent, that refuse to turn, that the heavy judgments of God are upon them, because the Lord heard it out of Lord's Day 5, Lord's Day 4, that He punishes sin temporally. Also concerning the ninth commandment, what an anguish and what a fear there can be, because we read in Numbers 32, verse 23, be sure that your sin finds you out. And then it is written in God's holy word that for sinners that refuse to repent and turn unto the Lord, then how terrible it shall be to meet with our God. And then I hear many think and say to themselves, but I cannot do that of myself. Ask you, how do you know? How do you know that you are not enabled of yourself? Have you tried it? Oh, then in this evening, because the Lord is also true with his exhortations, when he calls to sinners, he calls them to repent. And what precious exhortations there are concerning seeking the Lord while it is the day of grace. Then the Lord exhorts not in vain. He is true to those exhortations. And then in the third place, then especially concerning the promises for his church, concerning his dear son, what precious promises there are in the scriptures to those poor and needy ones, for those guilty, health-worthy sinners. Oh, when we read the scriptures, then each time by renewal, then the Lord invites, then he calls, and then it is proclaimed the gospel as it is in Jesus Christ. Do we not read in John 14, verse 26, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Oh, then it may be proclaimed that there has come one, and that is the dear Son of God, because we read in the scriptures of him in 1 Peter 3, verse 10, for he that will have life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they speak no guile. And then concerning the beloved Son of God, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Then he was given to come upon this earth. Then in his passive obedience he was given to suffer and to die for his church, also for the sins against the ninth commandment. But with his active obedience, then he was given to obey the law, also the ninth commandment, that obedience in the stead of his people, oh, that his church may receive a right, but also made meet to enter into eternal glory. Oh, young and old, we have come already to the ninth commandment, and then surely each time by renewal, when you have went home, then you had to tell the Lord, when you have bowed your knees before you laid yourself to rest, young and old, then you had to tell the Lord, Lord, now by renewal, we have been at the foot of Mount Sinai, and that is for the unconverted and for the converted. And then we have heard what a guilt there is. Oh, Lord, I have lived, oh, when we have become older, lived so many years upon the earth, the patient long-suffering of the Lord. And Lord, my sins are heavenly high, but, oh Lord, I need to be pardoned. I need to receive that robe of righteousness, and young and old, it may still be declared that there is a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, do we not read in 1 John 1, verse 7, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses from all sins, but it needs to be experienced. Christ has come to save sinners, but have we now become the sinner? Have we become a guilty, a hell-worthy sinner? And that is more than an intellectual knowledge that shall be experienced deeply by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, and that by the first time, but also in the life of gratitude. Oh, in that part, then how bitter, do we not read in Zechariah 12, verse 10, that they shall mourn for him when they have looked upon him whom they have pierced, also by the sins of the ninth commandment. Oh, then the love of Emmanuel, the love of Jesus Christ, that he was willing to come for sinners, but young and old, it needs to be experienced. We are hastening to a never-ending eternity. Oh, then cry mightily unto the Lord, that you may become partakers of those blessings and people of God in the part of gratitude, then by renewal, reasons to be ashamed. But do we not need that precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not read in the prophet Malachi 3:1-6, if I am a father, where is my honor? Amen. Let us close. Lord, then by renewal, then there is only one word, and that is guilt. May we be given to feel it, experience it, by the first time. May an arrow have been shot into the heart of a sinner, may it be more, to be given to see their awful state, their awful condition, transgressors from the womb, but not to despair, but to confess, to repent, to come at thy footstool, and to beg for thy mercy, as it is in Jesus Christ. Lord, we have heard in this morning how thou converts thy people, and that Adam and Eve, that they needed to be clothed. Thou knowest where thy people are encamped. Ah, for those burdened souls, where that burden is becoming so heavy, too heavy to bear, ah, Lord. May they be given, as it was in the Old Testament, that people that were bitten, to be given to look upon the serpent, to be given by an eye of faith, to be given to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Thou hast granted that we may commence an other week. First day has already run far its course. We humbly ask thee, may thou graciously watch over us in the home, help the mothers, the children, at work, on the way, wherever we are called to be. Remember truck drivers, construction sites, the farmers, businesses, this all known unto thee, where we have received the place. Well, to keep from harm and danger, and keep from sin and temptation. And when we have heard the ninth commandment, may we be given to repeatedly pray with the psalmist, set a watch, my lips keep the door of my mouth, ah, Lord. Well, thou grant unto thy church that there may be more the high praises in their mouth concerning the wonderful things of the Lord. Then by renewal we commend unto thee the mission board when they hope to meet. Wilt thou lead, wilt thou guide, wilt thou now bring us safely to our dwellings. And then by renewal we ask, when the sacrament of holy baptism hopes to be administered on the coming Lord's Day, wilt thou grant exercises therewith, and may it be used for the strengthening of the faith of thy children. Wilt thou pardon us of all of our sins, also of this day. In speaking and in listening, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 140. The first three stanzas, God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou, blot out my transgressions now and what follows. Psalter 140, the first three stanzas. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.